Hey everyone, thank you for joining me today as we continue our walk through the strange Paradiso. Today I want to share something with you that I actually heard. This is nothing that I can take credit for, but when I heard this story, it's like I knew what was going to happen. Like each step of this story, I knew what the next step was going to be. Now, the reason why I am saying this is because this particular story mirrored an old movie that came out probably in the early to mid 80s, okay? So what I'm trying to say is I'm not accusing anyone of making this up. I'm not saying that this did not happen. And when I heard this, there was no disclaimer before the story was told that this particular incident had been used by someone and they actually made a movie out of this and blah, blah, blah. Okay, so there was nothing like that said because that was what my next thought was. Like, okay, did they somehow contact this person and make a movie about this incident? I mean, that's how bad it was. It was just almost parallel, okay, to this movie. And so I don't know how many of you are familiar with an old movie. And Gary Busey was in this movie. And it was called Silver Bullet, okay? So the story that I heard almost mirrored the story of Silver Bullet, which is actually based on a novel by Stephen King, all right? So the person is telling this story about certain things that are going on, and there's a certain creature that is around the place where they were living at the time. This must have happened so many years ago. And anyways, just to get to the meat of this, the person told another family member, I think that whatever this creature is, it goes to our church and all of this stuff. And so come to find out the creature, okay, now these people feel that the creature is a person who actually has a position in the church. I'm not just talking about a churchgoer, but actually holds a position in the church. And I guess at night or certain times of day, this person turns into some kind of creature. I don't know if it's a werewolf. I don't know if it's some sort of hybrid of chimera, you know, something of all different various forms of animals. But anyways, there is a confrontation, okay, with the creature and these people. And it's when I'm going to just say the pastor, okay, even though he wasn't that high up. But I'm just going to say the pastor. So the story goes that one of the family members puts a silver necklace in the path of this pastor. And when he sees it, he gets a look on his face and he can't take that offering. He excuses himself and goes outside. He says he's just not feeling 100% and so on. And so later on, the pastor goes to these people's house and he's talking to them and their discussion is it's cryptic, okay? They're not just coming out and saying, I know what you are, and the pastor is not saying to them, you know my secret, now I've come to kill you. There's nothing like that. Their conversation is just very cryptic. And so in the movie, okay, that's exactly like what happens. There's this church pastor, and at night or during full moons, he turns into a werewolf. And at some point, someone stabs the creature in the eye. And so the next day at church, the pastor has a patch over his eye because he had an unfortunate accident, all right? So what I'm trying to say is, once again, I'm not accusing anyone of lying or of just making this story up. But I just could not help, when I was listening to this thing, thinking about Silver Bullet, the movie. And so they melted down some jewelry or whatever to make a silver bullet so that they could finally kill this thing, this werewolf. And when they finally do, well, if you haven't seen the movie, I'm just going to leave it there. Okay? It is old, but it's worth watching. It's old, so it's like one of those 80s kind of campy movies, but I think it's worth watching. And one of the things I noticed that when people were commenting on this experience that was being talked about and things like this, no one mentioned that movie. You know, that sounds like the movie Silver Bullet. Or if anyone had read Silver Bullet, no one came forward and said, that sounds like that novel by Stephen King called Silver Bullet. So just, I mean, maybe you can read a little bit of it. Maybe you can see the movie or read the synopsis. But that is what this story was about. It was more than just similar. I found it to be just too close to the movie. Okay. The reason why I wanted to bring this up, because maybe some of you are aware of this, maybe some of you read this or heard this somewhere, and maybe you too are familiar with that novel or with the movie. Okay? So then I want to also share something with you. Now, this is kind of something that reminds me of something that is actually biblical. There was someone walking in a rural, they called it a pasture. They were out in a pasture walking. And this is some time ago. So there was nothing around. It was like a shortcut for them coming back home from town. Okay, so there wasn't a whole lot around at that time. They were walking through this pasture, and it wasn't anything that was uncomfortable for them at the time. No one was worried that someone was just going to come and knock them out or do them any harm. It was probably in the mid-1960s. I mean, it's been some time ago. And the reason that this reminds me of something that I have heard that is biblical is because this person reports that as he's walking back from town, he's approached by what nowadays, I guess, would be considered like the Hat Man. And he just kind of appears almost out of nowhere. And he stood out so blatantly because he says, here I am in this field full of grass and these wildflowers, walking back home. It's a sunny day. And if this person would have been anywhere around, I would have seen him because he was all dressed in all black. So he just kind of appears almost out of nowhere. And he says, There were no trees. There was nothing to obstruct my view. I had a perfect view of everything around. So it's not like he came out from around a tree line, around the woods, around bushes. He said, no, there was nothing there, nowhere to hide. And so all of a sudden, this hat man looking thing is there. And so at the time, this guy was very young. He was like about 13 years old. And he was just like, whoa. And this entity asked, where is, I'm just going to use the name Edward. Where is Edward? And he didn't know how to reply. He said, we had always heard about strangers and about, you know, we're not supposed to like be talking to certain people and this and that, because everyone in the town knew each other. It was a small town, and he did not know what to say. He said, I kept walking. I didn't know what to say, but I felt like I had to say something. I was scared that this person was like going to attack me. And so he just said, I mumbled out the words. He said, I sounded very scared because I was just like, I don't know, like that. He said, I sounded like sounded like something that we don't want to talk about. But anyways, he said, I just sound like a real nerd. And that thing said to him, I'm looking for Edward. And then he just kind of like walked away, just walked by him, going the opposite direction. And when he turned around to look for this person dressed in all black, he was gone. So when he finally gets back to like where his house is and everything, and he calls Edward up and he says, you got to come over. I have to talk to you. Something really weird happened when I was walking through the pasture. And so Edward was like, okay, so I'll get on my bike and I'll go over there. And so then Edward went to his house and they're out in the front yard. And he says, tells him the story about what had happened and what he encountered. And so Edward is like, how could you have not seen this thing? There's nowhere to hide. And then he said, I know. And when I turned around, he was gone. He said, and he asked for you by name. And so Edward's eyes got really big. His mouth opened. And so did the guy, I'm just going to call him Larry, who actually had the encounter. Larry said that my eyes got really big. And he said, my mouth opened because I was going to say something. But it's like all the words just fell out of my mind and there was nothing that I could say. Now, the biblical part about this is because, and I heard this a really long time ago, so I don't know the exact wording, but I don't even remember who it happened to, so I don't know any names, okay? But somebody had said, I saw the devil and he asked for you by name. So that reminded me of that biblical story, okay? So whatever this thing was that asked for this guy by name, I mean, to me, that is very ominous, almost. It's like if the Reaper, okay? If you just were passing the Reaper on the street and he said, well, where's blankety blank? And you'd be like, what? Why are you asking for him? Okay. It's very ominous. So that's the type of feeling that I had when I heard this story. And so these two figured also like, oh, something really bad's getting ready to happen to me. You know, Edward just like all of a sudden now he thinks he's at death's door and what have you. But nothing happened to Edward. Edward was fine. As a matter of fact, Edward is still alive to this day. But Edward went to Vietnam, okay? He was a little bit older than Larry. So Edward actually went to the Vietnam War. And when he was there, certain things took place and certain things happened. And one of these things was so intense that he will never forget it. And he says that, I don't want to say any names of anyone or any actual place, okay? But there was a big fight. I'm talking about like a combat, okay? And someone was mortally wounded. And when Edward went to go and retrieve something, this person was laying there at death's door and said to Edward in English, okay, the person who was mortally wounded was one that they were fighting against, okay? It was a enemy combatant. So Edward's down on the ground and he's getting something, he's retrieving something. And in perfect English, this person says, Edward, I was looking for you. And then that was it. Now, we can't say that this had any connection to what had happened to him so many years prior. But that's the first thing he thought of. He said, I believe that there was a definite connection, and that when Larry had that encounter, it was almost like precognition, almost like this thing was maybe not in a material type of form, but maybe in a spirit type of form. And the precognitive part was because somewhere, okay, and somehow, it was looking for Edward, because Edward was going to be the one who was there when he took his last breath. Now, Edward said that he was not the one who mortally wounded that other person. It was not him. But he was there when this individual took his last breath. So, I mean, things like this, okay, these are very mysterious type of incidents. I don't know if I was going to classify, you know, put it into a classification, give it a name. I don't know what I would call this, but it's like something almost like maybe, I mean, I may sound like I'm reaching here for a minute, okay? But at some point, maybe the other person had this thing where he just knew certain things, and he realized and he knew and believed certain things about his life. Now, we hear about people like this all the time who just seem to be able to have this mental capability. They can almost see what's going to happen. So maybe this person at the time was asleep Maybe he was like a astral travel type of deal, met up somehow with Larry, okay? And there's a possibility that even Larry has this type of a thing, okay? I guess some people would call it a gift, okay? I'm just going to call it an extra. So maybe Larry and this other person were both extras, and that's how this happened. Because when you look in a different realm, when you look into maybe like a more spiritual realm, these things are easier to understand. Because do we really know where our consciousness goes at night when we're sleeping, especially like when we're in what's called REM sleep and things like this? We really don't. I mean, scientists study these things. They make educated guesses, but we really don't know. We really don't know the extent of travel that is possible when we're sleeping. So it could be something like that. The whole thing, I mean, or you could just say, oh, it's just coincidence. I don't know, guys, because this person also spoke English very, very clearly. We know that there are many people who they go to other countries to college and to get educations and things like this. But that is a possibility also, okay? But the guy also knew Edward's name. We all know that on anything military, when you have your name stitched on your clothing, whatever, it's your last name. It's not your first name. So the whole thing is very strange. It's really interesting. I feel it's a very interesting story. And I know that there are probably more similar to this. I know that there have to be, because I don't feel that things like this only happen one time to one person in all the years that people have been on this earth, okay? So it's up for the individual to think about this and see what you feel about it and what you come up with. It just really has me, it really had me going, like, because at first I thought it was going to be like creepy, like a creepy hat man thing, because the way he described, he said, nowadays we'd call it like the hat man. Okay, but here's another thing that I want to say. Now, if you look at some of the depictions, okay, of certain individuals during certain wars and what they wore, not everyone, but maybe there were some of them, and what they wore, I want to say that I have seen certain things where a few individuals, okay, I'm going to call them not the friendly ones, okay, but the other ones, the foes, the enemy combatants, that they were wearing like black, how would I describe it? Well, they were wearing black, and then they were wearing like these black hats that were kind of like a wide brim. Like if you're going to be outside doing gardening, you know how you wear like a wide brim, or you see some landscaper people and they're wearing like these wide brim hats that the brim goes all the way around. It's not like a baseball hat. It's not just like a visor or anything like that, but it's kind of like a, almost looks like the ring of Saturn. I mean, it's just, you know, the whole wide thing. So maybe that is actually what he saw. Very strange. I mean, I got to tell you guys, this one has really got me thinking, okay? Okay, and I'm just going to end with something that happened to me yesterday. Now, this is not creepy. This is not a creepy story. This is just something that happened to me, and I just want to share it with you guys, okay? So, once again, I do not believe in coincidence. I was even telling my husband, I don't believe in coincidence. I believe that coincidence is a word that was made up at some point to try to explain something away. And at the same time, keep people from really searching and understanding truth, okay? But that's just me. That's just my belief. Okay, so anyways, I was at work yesterday. Now, when I'm at work, I'm there for like 8 hours, and I usually don't have a bunch of time to sit around. But yesterday, there was something that happened with one of the clients, and she wasn't able to make her appointment, so I had like about 45 minutes to burn, which I'm not a sit around type of person, okay? So I was like, oh man, I got like 45 minutes. So what am I going to do? So I guess I'll just sit here and look for something, you know, like some kind of creepiness so that I can share it with you guys and see what we think about it, okay? So I'm sitting there. And one of my Thursday clients comes walking in. And she's like, what are you doing? I said, nothing. I have like some time to kill, so I have nothing to do. Now, you guys, if you've been with me for a little while, you know that this job, I really, really dislike it. I really dislike it. I dislike being there. I don't like anything about it. The people are the only thing that I like, okay? Because I'm a people person. I like people. But this particular place and this job, I don't like it one bit. And as a matter of fact, yesterday morning, I was telling my husband, I'm going to give them my 2 weeks. Next week is going to be my last week, and I'm done with this place. I don't want to do it anymore. And he's like, okay. So I'm the type of person now, I pray about everything, okay? I'm not saying that I'm a holy roller. I'm not saying that I'm a holier than thou or one of these type of people, but I do pray about everything. And I ask to be, I ask for guidance in things like this, all right, in my life. So anyhow, I'm sitting in there, and I was also thinking how I'm going to do this, how I'm going to just call and talk to them and say, look, next week is my last week, and this is just a little bit too much for me. It's just a little bit over my head and this and that, okay? So anyways, here comes one of my Thursday clients. What are you doing? I'm not doing anything. And then she's going to have a seat, and she's going to start talking. So one of her good friends, I know her good friend. She's also a client of mine. And she started talking about her, and I didn't realize, I'm going to call her Jenny. I didn't realize that Jenny was in such bad shape. I knew that she has her issues, but I didn't know how bad it actually is. So my Thursday client, Shirley, okay? I'm going to call her Shirley. She starts saying, you know, she's just such a gracious person, and she's a very good friend of mine, and there's nothing that they can do. There's nothing that can be done for her. And I start thinking, like, my gosh, is she at death's door? What's happening here? And then she stands up and she looks at me and she says, you know, God puts us in places for a reason. He puts us where he wants us to be. She said, we have free will, but when he puts us someplace, if we believe and if we live for the Lord, she said, we'll do what he wants us to do. And right away I thought, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. If I was a person who believed in coincidence, I would have said, okay, this is just a coincidence. But I knew better. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. So then she went on. And she started saying more and more. And I've known Shirley now for over a year. And we have talked a lot. And she's never talked in this type of context before. And then we talked a little bit more, and then she had to go, and she was like, okay, I'll see you Thursday. It was good talking. It was a good conversation. And I said, yes, yes, it was. Okay, I'll see you Thursday. And then when she left, and I, you know how you kind of like slump in your chair? You just kind of like go like that, and then both of your arms are like on the armrest. And I looked up and I was just like, okay, okay. I get it. So, and I was even laughing because it's like, oh man, I don't have a doubt, okay? Because she was also talking about how he uses people to do certain things. And he can take the rottenest person and use them for good and all of this stuff. And I was like, yeah, he uses, I know that. I know that the Lord uses people to get things across and to do certain things. And many times he does use people who you would never think. Like he'll use a thief. He'll use, I mean, if you know anything about the Bible, Paul, okay, the Apostle Paul, he was once, before he became a disciple and a follower of Christ, he was not a good boy. But anyhow, he changed and it turned him around. And it's like, yes, I know that he can. He can do anything that he wants. And so, once again, I knew, okay, that for some reason, I'm supposed to be there. And so I was telling my husband that this morning. We went to the coffee shop, my favorite place, and we were talking. And I said, I know, because these type of things just don't happen. This is not happenstance. This is not coincidence. I just know. And when certain things happen, you just don't have a doubt. And I recognized it and I realized it. As soon as she started saying certain things, I knew. Okay. And, so he said, so you're not going to quit. I said, no, I can't. I mean, I can. All right. Because once again, we all have free will. He doesn't force us to do anything, but personally, if that's what I'm supposed to do, if that's what he wants me to do, I'm talking about Jesus. If Jesus wants me to do that and work there for so long, whatever, then that's what I'm going to do, okay? And it's not bad. I'm not saying that, oh, it's the work conditions are horrible. Or no, it's not bad. It's just something that's like not my genre, so to say. So anyways, that's where I'm going to B, I don't know for how long, but one of the things that I said to my husband was that, because what I've actually been wanting is, or asking when I ask for guidance and things, that another open door, like I'm not being, you know, like hateful, and I'm not being, I mean, I'm ungrateful or anything like that. I am grateful, okay? Because the job is actually good. It's just not for me. But I guess Jesus said, well, yes, it is for you. And so you're going to do this. And so because I choose to follow, I'm going to do it. All right. But I said, well, you know, maybe from this, actually, maybe another door will open for me to something that I do want to do. I have to look for things that are beneficial because I know it's not going to be for a bad reason. I know it's going to be for a good reason. So I said, so maybe it's like somebody will make me an offer I can't refuse and I'll get something better. And he's like, you know what? Yeah, it could be. So yeah, guys, at least for now, I'm going to remain there and go to work there. And let's just see what happens. And just want to share that with you guys, okay? That's all that I've got for today. I'm probably not going to be able to be back until, maybe if I get some me time, I'll try to be back maybe Sunday, unless something really juicy happens or comes up or I read about or whatever, and then I'll be back before then. Or I may have to wait until Monday. The reason for that is because my husband's days off are Friday, Saturday, Sunday, okay? And it's difficult for me to be able to do this when he's home because it's always something. Oh, where we're going to go here and do this. Oh, we got to do that and blah, blah, blah. So that's why I don't really have me time for those 3 days. So let's see what happens. Or maybe I might come on tomorrow if there's something really good, okay? So anyways, we're getting close to March 1st. And just remember, guys, if you want to continue walking with me, because I don't know where I'm going to go, just take my contact information, all right? If you can't find me and if you want to still stay in the Paradiso, all right? Maybe _Maria@outlook.com. And we can all stay together and keep our little group together, okay? So I'll be talking to you as soon as I can. It's a really nice day here in the Kingdom of California. Sunny. It's clear. Really nice day. Anyways, guys, wherever you're at, I hope you have the best day ever. Ciao.